Hello, everybody. Welcome back into your latest episode of Locked On Colts, part of Locked On Podcast Network. Today, as always, I'm your host, Evan Setter, and joined by a very special guest today, Jim Aiello, the Colts beat writer over at the Indy Star. He also has the Colts Cover 2 podcast with fellow beat writer Joel Erickson. How are you doing today, Jim?
Doing great, doing great. Just enjoying day 4 of the Combine here.
Yeah, the Combine certainly is in full swing right now. What have you learned so far? I mean, it's been, of course, a super busy week. We've heard from Jim Irsay on Sunday. Then we heard from Frank Reich, Chris Bowe on Tuesday. We have the players starting to work out today. I imagine it's been a very busy week for you, but what's been the biggest takeaway so far from hearing from Irsay, Reich, and Bowe?
Yeah, it's kind of been this balance they've struck on the quarterback, right? And I think that's kind of the big off. We all talked about it going into the offseason. It was going to be, you know, there's a lot of storylines for the Colts, a lot of positions of need for the Colts. But until they kind of solidify what they're doing at quarterback, that's going to be the overarching storyline. And so far, we've kind of had this walking of a fine line. I wrote about it recently. Chris Ballard and Jim Irsay and Frank Reich are all that they're all walking right now, and they're all trying to, you know, show their support for Jacoby Brissett, say they believe in Jacoby Brissett, while also leaving the door open for the possibility of signing free agent, drafting somebody, trading for somebody. All the options are on the table, and they're refusing to take any of them off, while, again, maintaining that balance of saying, we believe in Jacoby, we believe we can develop Jacoby. So that's been, you know, I don't think that's necessarily different than what we've heard, but they all kind of doubled down on that in the last few days.
What do you make of this buzz, Jim? Because I saw your tweet earlier today just about voting from the locker room. You mentioned the quote from Chris Bowers in the season press conference. Go about voting it the right way from the draft, and you see all these rumors about Philip Rivers. Everyone's saying how hot those rumors are. Now we're hearing Tom Brady all of a sudden. Like, who knows what to believe, Jim? Just what's been your thoughts on all this outside buzz about that?
Yeah, so I've still yet to see a report that actually links a source to it or says that the Colts have shown interest in it. You know, if you actually listen to some of these reports and the way, you know, they kind of get disseminated and then picked apart and then rearranged in a little bit. But if you actually listen to what some of these guys are saying, it's that they're probably going to meet with these guys, or it seems like a likely destination, or that people are speculating this is a good spot for Philip Rivers or Tom Brady to land. Now, we've never heard anybody from the Colts come out and say, or, you know, there's not even been a reporter or a Colts report that would have come out and said that the Colts are interested in Philip Rivers, you know. So, you know, Chris Ballard himself. So I'm not going to comment on any of that on those guys right now. And so I'm not saying that it's not true. In fact, it's, you know, if so many people around the NFL seem to be connecting those dots, which, you know, you understand why. Philip Rivers played with under Frank Reich and Nick Sirianni in San Diego, now Los Angeles Chargers. But, you know, I'm having trouble kind of connecting the dots myself. Like you just said, Chris Ballard's quote about team building and about the way he goes into free agency. And I'm just not sure signing a 38 or a 43-year-old free agent quarterback really fits with Chris Ballard's philosophy. Now, maybe it changed a little bit. Andrew Luck retires, suddenly doesn't have a quarterback, and that can be enough to throw anybody's world off kilter, and maybe you change some things. But I don't know. Chris Ballard seems like a guy who sticks to his guns, sticks to his principles, and is not going to change. And therefore, I don't see him adding a kind of a Band-Aid, short-term, older free agent quarterback when he's already got somebody that he does like in Jacoby Brissett on the roster.
Yeah, very good point. They've definitely been backing Jacoby well. Also, like you mentioned, toeing the line there as well, Jim. What do you – I'm just asking, not to put you on the spot here, but do you think that a move like a Philip Rivers or a Tom Brady would be more of a lateral move than it would be actually like an upgrade, so to say? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, if you're just going like – trying to think of the best way to say this, but like, who's going to have the single best 2020 season for the Colts? You could definitely make the argument that it would be, you could make the argument it would be Philip Rivers, but I think he's probably in Frank Reich's system, could take advantage of a few more things. I think you could, again, convince yourself that maybe 2019 was an aberration, 2018 he had an incredible year, and that he's got a little bit something left in the tank. Now, I didn't necessarily see that with Tom Brady. And I still, you know, you still have the upside of Jacoby Brissett in of that first half of the season. And maybe that Frank can kind of coax that out of him for an entire season. And the guy we saw in the first 7 or 8 games is the guy you get for a full season. And that's a pretty good quarterback, not a great one, but it's a pretty good one. And so, yeah, I get what you're saying. The lateral move thing just doesn't seem to make much sense to me. Now, I'm not saying they should close off the avenues to all veteran quarterbacks. I think there's some other guys maybe out there, a little younger, maybe via trade or something like that, that would make some sense. Or even a young free agent signing. I just don't really see him going after a, you know, 38, 39, or 43-year-old to be the starting quarterback of the Colts.
Yeah, definitely would agree with you there. I think that's definitely the least likely option at this point. What's other has been the biggest surprises to you, Jim, just to hear this week? Because we've heard Frank Reich mention his five traits in the quarterback. You had a chance to talk with some quarterbacks, I imagine, at the combine. Have any of those guys stood out to you? Because just to mention for the listeners out there, the five traits, again, are toughness, accelerated vision, accuracy, good feet, and intangibles. What'd you take away from that?
That Joe Burrow is going to be a really good quarterback in the NFL. that guy's got everything. And then, you know, I will say I got a chance to listen to Tua talk the other day, and I'm going to butcher his last name. I've gotten it right a few times, but I'm not going to risk it here. But I listened to him talk a few times, and I remember turning around at the end of his press conference the other day and be like, man, if I were Chris Ballard, I would leak some just horrible medicals about Tua and try to scare a bunch of people off. Because he's an impressive guy to listen to. Obviously, he was an impressive player on the field. I think if you believe he's actually healthy, and it's more like I said, I was mostly just kidding, but if you believe he's actually healthy and can have a good NFL career, yeah, I'd have a hard time passing up on a guy like that. And obviously, this guy is probably not going to play for the Colts either. It sounds like Washington might even be considering him up to number two, though that seems like maybe a smokescreen. But and the other guys, I kind of went to the Senior Bowl, to be completely honest, having watched some tape on Justin Herbert and not being all that impressed. And then talk to him a little bit, watch him at the Senior Bowl, watch the way he tried to, develop himself. You know, there was those question marks about him being a pretty good leader or not being a very good leader, kind of being an introvert. And he was very forthcoming about those things and has worked really hard to try to be a better teammate, to be a bit more vocal leader, to understand what it means to be a quarterback. And even if, you know, he's not doing everything or if it's not perfect, I do respect a guy who can recognize his own flaws and try to improve on them. And in that light, I think we all saw what Jordan Love said the other day, which was somebody asked him if he was getting sick about talking about all of his interceptions. He goes, hey, if I didn't want to talk about him, I shouldn't have thrown him. And so I liked both those guys, knowing that, the flaws that they have in their games and being willing to embrace them, being willing to talk about them, being mature enough to say, this is how I'm going to get better and this is how I'm going to do it. Now, again, are any of those guys on the Colts radar? I don't know. Definitely seems like Jordan Love is. We definitely know that Chris Ballard has at least spent some time looking at him. But those are the kind of things that stood out. I mean, when you hear, like you said, you heard Frank Reich talk about just this mental toughness. I thought they both Justin Herbert and Jordan Love showed a unique kind of blend of that this week and at the Senior Bowl.
And also looking ahead a little bit, Jim, because this offseason, of course, the Colts have $86 million in cap space. The big news, people Scandal coming back. It feels like any domino could fall any sort of way in free agency for this Colts team. And Chris Ballard, interesting enough, mentioned that this locker room is ready to accept a big-name free agent. What do you think, as far as that goes, the possibilities could be for the Colts? I feel like there really could be endless ones.
Yeah, I feel bad because I just finished actually writing a story. It's not even published yet, but kind of raining on that parade a little bit. Chris Ballard, again, I'm just trying to go on the patterns that he's shown in the past. He's had oodles of cap space before. He's had people trying to, and it just makes me laugh because every year he has all this money because he's been fiscally responsible and everybody tries to spend his money and then he kind of does his own thing, which is kind of the pattern we've seen over the last couple of years. And, you know, I think it's a great sign that he said that about his locker room, but that may be, you could read that as maybe just more of a compliment on the locker room and a compliment to Frank Reich, right? That this is a team that is capable of bringing in a big name free agent. Does that mean he's going to? No, it just means that if he wanted to, he could. Now, if we want to have a little fun and talk about what makes some sense, I do think a guy like a Jadeveon Clowney or Yannick Ngakoue make a lot of sense for the Colts. For me, I've always been of the team building approach that you can draft eight pass rushers and I wouldn't think that would be enough. And so I think that's a guy who would fit the Colts very well, despite the presence of Kamoko Ture, Ben Banigou, and Justin Houston. I definitely think you could throw a guy like that into the fold and have probably an elite pass rushing unit. And that's a great thing. And Clowney isn't really the pass rusher that maybe people think he is, but he's an incredible run stopper and he's really good. He is good against the pass. He's just not, I wouldn't say he's like an elite pass rusher, but actually, Joel, you mentioned at the beginning of this, my partner at Indy Star, we were like, maybe he's kind of like maxed out Jabal Sheard, like really, really, really good Jabal Sheard, where you can get 8-9 sacks out of him in a good year and then have, you know, kind of elite run stuffing ability on the edge. And so that's a very valuable player. So those are two guys that I could definitely see them going after. And then, you know, there's the Amari Cooper thing, but I don't know what you think, but I don't know. I don't necessarily think I believe he's getting to free agency.
No, yeah. I don't think he's going to make it there either. I think Dak and him are staying in Dallas. I do agree on Jadeveon Clowney. I'm glad you brought up the Bolshear comparison because I was just thinking that just if you just maxed out your Bolshear's abilities, like you mentioned there, Jim, I think that is a guy like Jadeveon Clowney, and he definitely makes some sense. As far as friction in the locker room, too, that kind of point, I feel like maybe
Clowney for sure.
That box, too.
That's a great point. Well, so, yeah, do you think – and then, yeah, do you think that Amari Cooper – I don't know. Yeah, if you don't think Amari Cooper's getting the free agency, but I think he's kind of the guy that maybe would fit what the Colts are looking for in terms of a young, dynamic receiver. But, again, who knows? And then, obviously, we're talking now, but it looks like Chris Jones, who is a guy I absolutely think the Colts would have loved to throw in some big money at. And I might have written a different article if Chris Jones – if I actually thought Chris Jones was getting the free agency, but because he's such a perfect fit for what the Colts do. But it sounds like he's going to get franchise tag in Kansas City.
Yeah, speaking of a perfect fit, I feel like a guy, Javon Kinlaw or Derek Brown, those two guys, definitely check those boxes. I've been reading, watching all these press conferences from Chris Ballard the last end of season one, December and early January, and we go to the 1 year at the combine. Every time he's mentioned how important that three technique is, how important the trenches are, I just keep coming back to guys like Javon Kinlaw, who's there at 13, or Derek Brown. I feel like if the quarterback isn't the biggest need for them internally, I kind of feel like if it's not quarterback, it's the three technique. And I feel like either one of those guys, if they're on the board 13, I feel like Ballard's really going to consider one of them.
You and me are in lockstep on that. I definitely think the interior of the defensive line is probably their biggest area of need outside of addressing the quarterback position in some way. Unfortunately, I don't think Derek Brown is a guy who slides at 13 now. Maybe Chris Bell. He does the unprecedented and trades up. I know, again, just to reference Joel again at IndyStar, he is in love with Derek Brown and would advise strongly trading up to get a guy like that because he looks like an absolute just game wrecker from the inside. Kind of, you know, what you might have been getting if you got Chris Jones. And then Kinlaw, I like a lot. Obviously, a little bit different than Derek Brown. I think he's just what is so impressive to me about Javon Kinlaw. If you haven't read stories about his upbringing, what he's come from and his background, do that because he's an incredibly impressive human. But as a football player, just how explosive he is and how strong he is. It's the quick twitch abilities on the inside and the bull rushing. And today got a chance to listen to him. And he was talking about how much he could be, how much better a pass rusher he could be because he doesn't really have many pass rushing tools. I just kind of overpowered people. I was just kind of a bull rusher. And I've been trying to learn these new tools, but once somebody kind of coaches me up on these things, I think I can be elite. And that, to me, if I'm an NFL team, I'm kind of licking my lips going, man, we have this raw, physically gifted, you know, like stud of a defensive tackle that if we just teach him a couple things, he could just be, you know, what Aaron, you know, I don't know if Aaron Donald's a fair comparison, but just somebody who can absolutely terrorize a run game and a pass game from the inside.
Yeah, and speaking of that, I feel like Chris Ballard, he was actually on the Move the Sticks podcast with Daniel Jeremiah this week, and he talked about his team building philosophy and it being in the trenches, and he said it's not the sexy idea of going offensive line, defensive line, really having emphasis on that, but it's going to win you games more often than not. And do you feel like nowadays when every team I feel like is going – I know the offensive line, defensive line raise your ceiling, but we see so many teams go out there and make those sexy sort of splash that playmaker and get all these guys – do you feel like Ballard's approach is the right way to go about it?
Yes, and I'm going to tell you in a completely, like, weird, biased way. I remember when I was younger and played a lot of Madden and loved to do the franchise mode, and this is a horrible example because it's not at all comparable to the NFL, but I don't care. I'm going to tell the story anyway. I remember I would, you know, I'd play against my friends or whatever. We do this, like you said, you do the franchise mode. You could do the fantasy draft of drafting all the players. And I remember I'd get made fun of by my friends because all I would do is draft offensive linemen. And because all I kept thinking was, if I have a good offensive line, I can do anything. I can run. I can pass. I don't even have to have a great quarterback or great receivers necessarily because I'm going to have time. I'll have time in the pocket to throw and let time for those receivers to get open. Again, not a great comparison to Madden, but I do respect and I do think that Chris Ballard has the right way of team building. And it's funny because I think so many general managers say the things that Chris Ballard says. We're going to build in the trenches, build from the inside out, You know, a lot of them say it, but so few of them actually practice what they preach. And you got to respect Chris Ballard for doing it, certainly on the offensive end. I think defensively, obviously, we just talked about guys they need, so they're still working on that. I think, you know, he expected Tyquan Lewis to have a bigger impact than he's had so far. And obviously, Kamoko Ture was somebody kind of on the edge that he thought would, by year two, would have a big impact, and the injury slowed that down a little bit. But offensively, obviously, you just can't overlook what he's done and how important that is to what the Colts are. I don't think there's any chance with the way what happened to their skill position players and kind of Jacoby Brissett's play last year, there's any chance that they're a 7-win team without that offensive line. I mean, there's just no way. But that enabled them to have a really strong running game, even when most teams weren't really afraid of their quarterback or their receivers, you know, when T.Y. Hilton was hurt especially.
Hate to put you on the spot here, Jim, because it's just now the end of February, and we're recording this February 27th. Do you feel like we're getting 2.5 weeks with free agency? I don't know, the draft and stuff's going to take off here with the combine, but where would you lean as far as maybe what the Colts are going to pursue? And obviously, this is not sourcing. This is Jim's predictions. What do you think might happen?
Sure. With the Colts? That's a good question. Okay, so first couple things, what I would say was again, we'll start with the unsexy stuff, right? I think they might want to sign a couple of 1 to 2 offensive linemen, maybe. You know, not starters, but guys that you need as backups. And they might just come with re-signings of some of the guys that they had, Josh Andrews or Laven Clark or Joe Haig, because all those guys are free agents. They have almost no depth behind their offensive line. And I don't think you want to leave that all to the draft. You want to have a couple guys, I think, that are veterans that can fill in, and then maybe draft a couple guys as well, and you can kind of draft and develop those guys. As everybody knows, this Anthony Costanzo thing, it's great that he's coming back, but he's year to year. You need to start kind of finding, you know, what life is like after Anthony Costanzo. So I definitely think that they might start trying to rebuild their offensive line depth. As far as some like slightly sexier moves, this is just, again, me personally, I would really look into Austin Hooper. I really think that Frank Reich can do some significant damage with a tight end. We saw it with Eric Ebron a couple of years ago. And I love the potential of a 2-tight-end set with Austin Hooper and Jack Doyle. Hooper is a guy who's obviously, his pass catching credentials are unquestionable with what he did in Atlanta. He's actually a decent blocker. I wouldn't say he's a great blocker or anything, but he's a decent blocker. But I just really like how, you know, I'll use a Frank Reich word, how multiple the Colts can be when those two guys are on the field. And so I kind of love the idea of targeting a tight end, even though there are some good guys in the draft that could maybe do that too. But that's something I would go after. And then, stick on the offensive side of the ball. I think it's at every position now, right? Receiver is the other thing. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily spend big. I don't think there's anybody worth spending big on outside of, you know, that rare instance of Amari Cooper hits free agency. Don't think the Colts should spend big on a AJ Green or a Robbie Anderson. But maybe, you know, you've seen the guys like, you know, you've seen Nelson Agholor, I'm sure, out there as a free agent target. I think a veteran receiver that's kind of cheap that maybe can kind of fill in the Chester Rogers role makes some sense. And then, on the defensive side of the ball, I told you, my number one, if you're going big, I think Yannick Ngakoue is a guy that I think I would just love to put into the pass rush rotation. And then, and like I said, defensive ends, there's a couple other guys that might get out there that are interesting. Ooh, trying to think. And I think you kind of like what they're doing at linebacker, kind of like where they are at maybe a corner you could explore. I don't know. What do you think? Anybody at corner? Would you want to add another corner?
The big name, I mean, there's one corner that's been connected, obviously not reporter, of course, but there's connection with Byron Jones, the top cornerback.
Byron Jones, yeah.
Beautifully squeezed to coach him. Do you think that makes sense, a big name move, or not really?
I don't know. I don't know if I want to – they've already spent pretty significant resource at corner. I mean, Rocky Sin was a second-round pick, and Pierre Desir just got paid, and Kenny Moore just got paid. So they've put some money and draft pick capital into the corner. I'm not sure how much more you want to put in right now, but if they do really like Byron Jones, and obviously they should have a pretty good knowledge of him, obviously with Matt Eberflus's kind of history in Dallas. And so that definitely is something that if they believe he can be an elite corner, obviously you can't have too many of those in the modern NFL, but I don't know. I wouldn't want to spend too big on those guys in corners, man. They tend to get big money, especially with a guy like Byron Jones, who's kind of like the big name out there right now.
Last question I have for you, Jim, before I let you go, quick day of time. If you would have talked to me back in, let's say, this time last year, and I would have told you Andrew Luck is now off the Colts and the Colts don't have a quarterback, what would you have told me then?
I would have told you were crazy. I think everybody would have, right? I mean, it seemed like it would. It seems like, you know, Andrew Luck, of all things, you know, about him, it seemed like he really loved football, right? It just seemed like he loved the competition. He loved being in the locker room, among probably everything. He just loved being around people he cared about, and it was friends, and he loved kind of like diving into film. Like, it was all these things that, like, you just think he was very passionate about. And then you think of most football players, that's kind of like, if they're that passionate about the game, they have a hard time quitting it. But it turned out, you know, as we learned, that Andrew has other passions and can kind of turn his focus into some other things. So but anyway, I don't know if we knew that a year ago, but I definitely, yeah, I would not have believed it, that's for sure.
You guys can follow Jim over on Twitter at Jim Ilo. We just worked over on IndyStar. Appreciate the time as always, Jim. Maybe we can get back on later in the offseason.
Absolutely. Anytime.